All right, it's my pleasure to have our brother Mark Cahill now come and open the Word of God for us. Lord bless you as you come, brother.
Good morning. All right, now, I was driving over here from the hotel today. I walked outside the front of the hotel. Is this winter? This morning? That's not winter? Okay, I probably won't come back in a couple months, but my mom is from Sioux City, Iowa, so she always loves it when I come back to Iowa and stuff. My dad's from Nebraska, so she always loves it when we come back to the Midwest and do that. We live in Atlanta now, and so it's fun to be there and stuff. So glad you're here this morning. I'll give you some things to think about. I love speakers who make me think that this is good for me, that I don't stay comfortable. Does that make sense? I want to stay complacent in a world that's going in a wrong direction. Okay, so first thing, the first song you sang, there were three words in there that were in that song that you probably would never, ever find in quote-unquote modern worship today. Okay, so what would have been one of those three words you sang in the very first song that you wouldn't find in modern worship today? Anyone know? Redeemed is one of them. You don't see the word redeemed hardly in any of these newer songs today, okay? That's a powerful word, isn't it? Yeah, that's powerful. What's another word? Did you see any other ones? Blood? You do not. Who said blood? Yeah, you do not see blood in the newer songs that are coming out today. And what cleanses me of all my sins? The blood of Jesus Christ does. You don't see them in the newer songs. And then the other one was lamb. You don't see lamb a lot in there. And the lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. Okay, then in the last song, you did mention sin there, and a lot of the newer songs don't even mention sin. Okay, in the second song, you mentioned Jesus. Do you know a lot of the newer songs today will not mention Jesus Christ? A buddy of mine, a really, really good speaker, he was doing a youth event here in Iowa, and about third or fourth day of summer camp, and he asked the kids who were doing the worship, how many times they've mentioned Jesus in the songs they sang. And the kid said, I don't know. I said, but we'll find out. I said, okay. So he comes back. He's a 70-year-old friend of mine. He's a wonderful speaker. And the kids came back to him the next day. Sir, we played 57 songs. Okay. And six of the songs mentioned Jesus Christ. Six. Okay. And so he asked the young boy that was leading the worship, and he asked him, he said, do you see anything wrong with that? The boy said what? The boy said what? He said, yes, I do. No one ever pointed it out to him before. See, a lot of young people, we just follow, right? We just follow people. We follow worship leaders. We follow pastors. Sometimes we're not thinking our way through it. Okay? And he was teaching this boy to think his way through it. And just don't play songs because they're popular. Okay? You did the song Mighty to Save. At the end of it, it said at the bottom of the screen, who publishes that song? Who publishes that song? It's called Hillsong. Anything wrong with the teachings that come out of Hillsong? Yes, they're out of Australia. They're known as a prosperity gospel church. Come to Jesus and you'll get nickels in your pocket. Okay? It's funny how that doesn't preach in Africa. Doesn't preach in Africa, does it? No. And by the way, if it doesn't preach in Africa, it doesn't preach. Doesn't preach. The cross preaches everywhere, right? Yeah, I can bring the cross everywhere and preach that. But if I tell you to come to Jesus and you get stuff and you get a mansion, you get a nice car, that might work for a Creflo Dollar in Atlanta. That doesn't work in the bush of Kenya when you preach it. Okay. Also, the other problem there is that the lead worshipers of Hillsong, it was a Darlene Check and her husband. They left the church, and they started their own church. Okay, and so she's a co-pastor with him of the church. Okay, do we have women pastors in the Bible, yes or no? Absolutely not. It's a men's job to be the pastor. It's not a woman's job to be the pastor of a church. Okay, it's changing in our current culture today. Right? Yeah, I just spoke at a Methodist camp in Michigan about 2 months ago, and they told me that while I was there, I told the guy, there's three issues splitting the Christian church right now. Okay, the three issues splitting the Christian church are the issues of homosexuality, women pastors, and abortion. It's the three churches. You will see the Presbyterian church, the Methodist church, and the Episcopal church splitting right down the middle over those three issues. Well, I said it to a man who was there. He looked at me and said, you know we're going to have women pastors at this conference, don't you? I'm like, what? You know, they never told me that before. He said, you didn't search this out? I just thought it was a Methodist conference. I didn't know. Well, so I was teaching in the mornings and the evenings. So in the morning, the last day, I just asked the people. I said, I know that we have women pastors here, and I know the Methodist Church is saying that's okay. I said, someone raise a hand up and give me the biblical support, okay, for a woman being a pastor. Okay. Out of the 100 and some people there, how many hands went up? Yeah, 0 hands went up. And I had a woman pastor sitting right over there. She liked me, too. She liked me all 5 days. Really nice lady and stuff. She immediately puts her head down. Now, wait a minute. Wouldn't you defend your position if that was your position? Shouldn't you have a scripture to back it up? So we ended up, and I said, finally, so I re-asked the question again, okay? And finally, a lady on the second row said, there is none. See, the laity know it's not true, but the upper general council has said it's okay. Again, one of the things we teach, and I know Troy and I were talking about, this is the book we lead our lives by, correct? Correct? This book is either true or it's not true. If it's true, lead your life by it. If it's not true, put it back on your shelf, and then Troy and I were talking this morning, and then we have no hope. Okay? If it's not true, we have no hope. Okay? So we got to go by that book. And does that mean we ruffle some feathers? Yeah, it's okay to ruffle feathers, but you ruffle it with truth. Truth always ruffles feathers. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. All right? As I used to tell my students when I taught school, the truth may hurt, but it's still the truth. Right? Yeah, just because you got a 75 on my test because you didn't study, I'm not going to put you up to a 90 just because I feel like doing it. The truth, you didn't study. Truth may hurt. It's still the truth, though. Okay, pick up the pace, and you'll do better in my class and do that, okay? So I didn't grow up in church, so I didn't get saved until I was 25. And so I want to thank you for doing the hymns and keep doing the hymns as you teach people through music. Keep using the hymns. I was in a church in Knoxville, Tennessee recently, a rock and roll band, disco light. I remember the disco ball light with the thing and it bounced off my fog machines, rolling fog off the stage. Okay. I had to preach after that. Try that sometime, Troy. Try that at the induction for that guy today. So I went out to lunch with the staff afterwards. We're sitting having lunch. I said, can I ask y'all a question? I said, yeah. I said, why do you do the rock and roll and the fog machines and the disco light? I said, why do you do that? They looked at me and said, because we're trying to be relevant. Okay, relevant to the people, so the people walk in and see we're relevant to our culture. So, okay, I said, can I ask you a question? They said, yeah. I said, how many times does the word relevant show up in the Bible? What's the answer? 0. See, if you're trying to be relevant to the culture keeps, what? Changing. That means I have to keep changing the whole time. No, why don't we just preach truth? Okay, just put truth out there. If you want to come to the truth, great. If you don't, great. That's your choice, okay? But I don't have to keep changing, okay? The same cross that preaches in Iowa, preaches in Atlanta, preaches in Africa, preaches everywhere we go, okay? So, again, I think one of the things we as Christians have to do is kind of tighten our ship up here in the end of days. It's one thing I tell with, I was listening to a tape on working with youth and witnessing, and the guy said very simply, said, what you win them with is what you win them to. Yeah, what you win them with is what they win them to. So if you need pizza, yo-yos, and Six Flags and rock and roll to win someone to the cross, you now need pizza, yo-yos, Six Flags, and rock and roll to keep them to the cross. It's the real danger of youth ministry today. We see it all across the country. And it's funny because a lot of the youth like me when I speak because I just shoot it straight at them. I just shoot it straight, lay it on the table. Get saved or do something with your life. And if you're a Christian, boldly stand for Jesus Christ. And they like it because they like it when it's shot straight. Look at it from the enemy's perspective. Isn't Satan shooting straight at kids today? Isn't he shooting straight at us today? I mean, he's right at us. I mean, sin is just being pushed at us from, seems like, every direction, okay? He doesn't seem to be coddling people. We don't need to either with truth and do that, okay? But we always speak the truth and speak the truth in love and do that, okay? So thanks for doing the hymns. It was good to walk into a church and hear hymns and keep that up. So I'm going to give you some good things to think about this morning. First thing I want you to think about, time, okay? I want you to think about time, okay? Every second, two people die, okay? By the time you put your head back on your pillow tonight, if the Lord allows you to, another 150,000 people have taken their last breath, walked off into eternity, heaven or hell as we speak. Okay, so simple question for you, okay? Do you care about those two people that just died? Okay, but a much, much, much tougher question. You care enough to do something about where those two people are going to spend eternity that just died. So we sit here, two more people just died. And two more people just died. Okay? The question is, when are we as believers going to care so much about these people taking a last breath that we want to get into a conversation with them and plant a seed for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you can be here one moment and gone just like that. I used to be a school teacher back in the day. One of my students, Brian, had a learner's permit. He was driving in the mountains of Tennessee with his mom. They pull into a convenience store. They switch seats. Brian moves to the passenger seat. They pull out in the mountains of Tennessee. A boulder rolls off the side of the mountain. Boulder lands directly in their passenger seat and crushes Brian dead instantly. Okay. Mother looked over. There's a boulder sitting in her car, and her son was dead underneath that boulder in her car. Okay. See, I knew Brian was coming back to school next year. Oh, Brian wasn't. Brian took off into eternity. Okay. The question is, where is he at? A family I witnessed to at a restaurant last night, their son was in a walker. And I said, oh, we were chit-chatting and stuff. And so the mom told me that he was standing in front of the post office. Lady had her car there. She went to hit the brake, hit the gas instead, and pinned her son against the post office wall. Broke his bone above here, had a cell phone here that pushed into him and literally missed his femoral, one of his arteries there, by a quarter of an inch. One quarter of an inch. It was a 12-year-old boy. Okay. I looked at them. I said, do you believe in God? That's what I said. Because one quarter of an inch, that young man's probably not here right now. Okay. You can be here one moment and gone just like that. The question, though, is where do you go? All right. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and University of Georgia is right up the road. And about 2 years ago, there were some boys rock climbing. These boys were rock climbing. And one of the boys, all of a sudden, he lost his hand. His hand slipped. When his hand slipped, he fell off the side of the cliff. But when he fell off the side of the cliff held. Okay. He came down and whop, hit the side of that mountain, just dang there, dead as can be. 18-year-old boy, eternity, just like that. I was speaking about a year ago at a sports banquet in Montgomery, Alabama, and I actually told this story. When I told this story, afterwards, a lady walks up to me, and she said, you know that story you told of the young man who died in the rock climbing accident? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, that's one of our relatives. I'm like, really? I said, how are you doing? She said, well, let me tell you something. We miss this kid so much. He was just one of these boys, she said, that could walk into a room, had that personality just to light up the whole room. You know what I'm talking about? Those type of kids that just have those personalities, you know. We miss this kid so much. But let me tell you something about this young man. In high school, he committed his life to Jesus Christ. Okay, can teenagers get saved? Yes or no? Yes. Are we reaching them? Reaching out to them? Seeing them parking their cars on a Friday night inside a big parking area by Hy-Vee or whatever, do you walk up to them and get in a conversation? Do you walk up to them and hand them a gospel tract or something? Okay, because if you're not reaching out to them, Satan is. Okay, think about that. He committed his life to Jesus Christ. She said he boldly shared his faith in Jesus Christ in high school. Went to the University of Georgia, boldly stood for God in Jesus Christ. And as much as we miss this kid, we know exactly where he's at. Isn't that the hope we have as believers, eh? That's the hope we have when another believer passes away. It's not a goodbye, it's a see you real soon. Okay, you just beat me to the throne of God. You got there quicker than I did, okay? And so think about that for a second and think about our lives. And are we reaching these people? Because time is precious. You're here one moment. You're gone just like that, okay? Question for you. Give me a verbal response, okay? Do you believe hell is a real place? Do you believe hell is an actual real place that people can really go to for all of eternity, yes or no? Okay, if you believe that and you have to hold that position with a biblical worldview, okay, that means then you can never ask yourself the question, how can I share my faith with this person? The only question you can ask, how can I not share my faith with this person? That's completely the wrong question. It wasn't how I could witness to Michael, the guy who sat next to me on the plane flight to Cedar Rapids, who grew up Catholic, completely ditched it, was here for the homecoming game at University of Iowa. How could I not take the time to witness to Michael? Okay. It's not how I could take the time to witness to Tom at the hotel this morning. He was walking on the same elevator ride with me and his wife, who's now, his mom just died a year ago from colon cancer. Okay. Does he think about life and death now? Yeah, yeah, he thinks about it now. Okay. It's not how I could witness to Casey, my waiter, last night in a restaurant I was at. How could I not take the time to do that? See, it's all perspective and how you look. So once you know hell's real, it's not how can, it's how can I not take the time to do that. Okay. Now, you've heard about near-death experiences where people flatline and see white lights in tunnels, yes or no? You heard about those, yes or no? Okay. During my times of witnessing and meeting people, I have now met 30 or 31 people who flatlined, who saw the hell experience and not the heaven experience. Okay. You have to understand how real this is. A friend of mine flatlined. End of his, he saw a lake of fire he could feel the heat from. Okay. Ever heard of a lake of fire before, folks? Matthew 25, Book of Revelation. I have more people, they tell me they see these lakes of fire when they flatline and come back. We had two EMTs pull a guy out of a car, pump it on his chest. He's screaming, fire, fire, flames, flames, flames. There's no fire. Car's not on fire. He's not on fire. They just keep working on him. Fire, fire, flames, flames, flames. Flatlines and dies. Ready for this? Both EMTs, both atheists, both said they could smell a burning sulfur smell as the man flatlined and died. Both said it was supernatural. Both said it was hell. They never believed it existed until that day. You have to realize this isn't a game. This is pretty serious business if you die without Jesus Christ. But it's serious business for us who have Jesus Christ, because we know we have what prevents everybody from seeing a lake of fire for all of eternity. Think about that for a second. God gave us a job to seek and to save those who are lost. Are we going to do it? Or is that someone else's job to do it? It's not someone else. It's my job to do it. It's our job to do it. We're caring, loving Christians who care about people in Cedar Rapids to get in conversations and do that. One of the craziest stories, I met a woman. Her husband died. They paddled. Nothing worked. He died. Pulled the wires out, wheeled him off in a gurney, just left in the hallway. He's dead. 15 minutes later, whoop, he sits up on the gurney 15 minutes later. Okay? 4.5 minutes, your brain's what? It's dead. You're toast after 15 minutes later, he comes up, and she told me he was completely fine, lived years later. Told his wife he went down a dark tunnel. I've had more people tell him about this dark tunnel, not a white tunnel, a white light tunnel, a dark tunnel. Vapor fog. He could see and hear people screaming in this fog. Many people tell me years and years later, the one thing they can't get out of their head are the screams that they heard. Matter of fact, they look at me and tell me, I can't tell you how many of them, and they describe it as weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. The exact biblical words we have in Scripture is exactly how they describe it. Okay, down, all of a sudden, shoop, two hands of light grabbed him. Told his wife later he knew it was Jesus, the light of the world had shown up. I've actually heard this from more than one person. They didn't think it was Jesus, hope it was Jesus, might have, should have, could have been. They knew it was Jesus Christ. Okay, do y'all know the right answer is Jesus Christ? Okay, the right answer for Cedar Rapids is Jesus Christ. The right answer for Iowa is Jesus Christ. The right answer for America is Jesus Christ. The right answer for America is not a black president, not a white president, not a new president, not the economy going well. The right answer for America is Jesus Christ. America does not have a political problem. It has a spiritual problem. And a spiritual problem can only have a spiritual solution. But yet, when we around the country hear about Iowa, we pretty much think about two things in Iowa. Okay? Corn. Correct? And what else? What? Hawkeye football. Actually, no. And I'm sorry, but the truth hurts, and it's still the truth. What else do we know about Iowa? Politics. That's exactly right. Okay, you supposedly pick the new president, and they all have to come through Iowa first to get there. Wouldn't it be much better to know about the move of God that was happening in Iowa? People loving Jesus Christ. And I had a guy when I was here 2 years ago in Centerville. We were at a conference. The guy took off for lunch with his son. They ran into Rick Santorum at some restaurant that they went to that day. Him and his son went up there, started talking to Mr. Santorum, began to share the gospel with him, shared Jesus Christ with him. Okay, gave him, Rick is Roman Catholic. Is Roman Catholic different than evangelical Christianity? Very different. I'm a former Roman Catholic, okay? Gave him the book One Heartbeat Away that I wrote, and Mr. Santorum said he'd read the book. So here was someone from Iowa that had, he was more concerned about not who our next president's going to be, okay? But is this Mr. Santorum know Jesus Christ? Because that's all that matters, okay? Grabbed him, pulled him up, 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 hit the top of the tunnel, and that's when he sat up on the gurney 15 minutes later. Okay? She told me, she asked her husband the question, honey, what was the worst part of that experience? And you think it's anything I just mentioned, not what the man said. The man said the worst part of the experience was, ready for this? He couldn't bring anybody out of there with him. Oh, my, my. Remember the account of rich man and Lazarus? Once judgment set, heaven or hell, there's no crossing over from one side to the other. Okay, so one, Are you sure you're born again and saved? You're sure? The Bible says, test yourself, examine yourself, prove that you're of the faith. Okay, this isn't a game. Okay, sure you're saved. And then two, once you're saved, who are you reaching for Jesus Christ? Who are you lost people are you investing into, sharing your faith with? Who are you handing a gospel tract? Have you prayed for your waiter or waitress yet today? I've already prayed for who I'm going to run into this afternoon. Okay? Are you taking it that serious? Because Satan takes it that serious. Because I can't help them once they die. I can help you a billion times before you die. I can do all kinds of things for you before you die. Okay? That's what we're here for. Okay? Because time is precious. It's scooting by quick. Some of you folks who are a little bit older, with some age on your belt, does life go by quick? Yes or no? It's insane. It scoots so fast. We can't explain it to young people. You couldn't explain it to me when I was a young person. But I'm over 50 now, and half a century is long gone in my life, okay? The times I've wasted, and I think about so much, but I can't be looking back. I'm looking forward. Okay, I'm going to finish this race well, just like Paul said to Timothy, and I'm going to finish the race, hand the baton to people behind us, and get out of this crazy place and go meet Jesus Christ. Okay? But time is precious. We need to use it wisely. And that's what we're going to talk about as we open up our Bibles. Okay, so let's pray. Father, thank you for a good chance to be here. Father, thanks for some really good, strong music that glorifies your name. We thank you so much for that. But Father, give us a good challenge. Holy Spirit, grab some truth out of the scriptures that we're going to walk out of here bolder than we walked in, me included, Father God, for your glory and your glory alone. We thank you for that. And we do. And we ask in the great name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. All right, let's grab our Bibles. Okay. And who was with me this weekend? Who was here this weekend when we were speaking? Okay, so we're grabbing our Bibles. So be what? Be what? Okay. Be careful. That's right. Be careful. You're about to open the most important book that has ever existed on planet Earth. Okay. This book you hold in your hand, it's not a textbook, it's not a newspaper, it's not a fiction book, okay? It's not a website, it's not an app on your phone. This is the Word of God. This is the most life-changing book that has ever been written in the history of this world. People died translating this book so you and I could have it in 2013. And I take it lightly sometimes. Okay, people will read this today and get born again and saved in all different kinds of languages around the world. All right, Christians will open up this today, okay, and their lives will change as the Holy Spirit takes a verse and drills their heart with something today. Okay, we need to take this book more serious. Yes or no? That's why it's being denigrated everywhere on high school and college campuses. Okay, it's being denigrated because the seriousness of this book. All right. If I began to take it that serious, because do you think there ever could come a day that it would be illegal for Pastor Troy to preach from this pulpit in America? Yes or no? We're going that direction. Yeah, we're heading that direction. This great America is heading that direction. Okay. But listen to me. If you're willing to stand up for a little persecution today, it toughens you up. You know you can trust God. You're ready for tomorrow. Then you're ready for the bigger persecutions when they come down the road. Okay. But there's a fight on for this book. Because this book tells right from wrong. Okay, and tells you how to be right with God. And people who hate God don't want you to know this book and understand this book. Okay, so when we open up this book, I always tell people, be careful. Okay, the most dangerous book you'll ever read in your life is the Bible. Matter of fact, it's so important, it'll be in heaven one day. The grass may wither, the flowers may fade, but the word of God shall endureth forever. This is an eternal book. Hey, don't take it lightly. Take it serious and watch what happens when you do. Okay, let's grab our Bibles. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel. Okay, going to go Old Testament. So if you open up in the middle, you hit what book? Psalms. Head towards the New Testament. A bunch of big old books there. You're going to run into Isaiah, Jeremiah. And you're looking for Ezekiel. We're going to go Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, and let's go with, verse 1. We'll start there. Again, Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, okay, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. Now, in 2013, what's the number one way we get the word of the Lord is what? Yeah, reading our Bibles. That's the number one way you get the word of the Lord, okay? Careful. The Bible says in the end of days, there'll be false Christs, false prophets and false teachers. Okay, those are all false religious people. in the coming days be much more concerned about religious folk than non-religious folk. And the reason is, around religious folk, you typically take your guard and you drop your guard. And that's when the false teaching comes in. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay. So I always teach people, guards up. Okay, put your guards up. Put your guards up this morning. Okay, many of you don't even know who I am. I'll put your guards up. Test everything I say against the Word of God. Okay, can I get off base biblically, yes or no? Yes. Can Pastor Troy get off base biblically, yes or no? Yes, we're human. It's possible. We pray not to, trust me. I always pray not. That's why I keep my teaching into a very narrow area, because I don't want to get into false teaching, because I know God's going to judge false teachers in a pretty strong way. I don't want to be one of those and do that, okay? But you have guards up to test everything against this book, because it says in the end of days an antichrist is going to show up. A Christ means anointed one. Anti doesn't always mean against. It can also mean in place of. It means somebody in place of the Christ, the anointed one. Who's the anointed one? Jesus Christ. So it's going to be a false Jesus Christ. It also says in Thessalonians that this antichrist is going to do lying signs and wonders. Now, we have another word for that. What's the word we use? Miracles. Okay, so he's going to come on the scene, do miracles. People will follow the miracles, follow the miracle worker, and lead people away from the God of the Bible and the cross. Well, because I know what Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5 says. Deuteronomy 13 says, I, as God, might send a miracle worker right before your eyes to perform miracles just to test you, to see if you will still follow me or will you follow the miracle worker. Okay? Now, think about it. Does God send us tests, yes or no? He's always testing us, okay? That's what you do as a teacher. You test kids to make sure they understand the material. Then you move on to something a little more, and do that, okay? So again, I test everything against this book, and that's how I can stand and have no problem telling a group of Methodists that the Bible says no to women pastors. I have no problem, okay? They pulled me aside later that day, and were making a decision whether I was going to speak that night to the whole group. Okay, they were going to basically cancel my last talk for that. I can't worry about things like that. My job is to speak the truth, stand for what's right, put our feet down, speak the truth in love, because I care about them, okay, and let the chips fall where they may. All right, we worry about the chips too much. Okay, what are they going to do, not pay me? What would that mean? But God pays my bills. No one else pays my bills. So what if they did or they didn't? Okay, I had more people walk up to me, thank me for taking that stand, because they've been wanting to say the same thing, just haven't had the push yet to do it. Okay, well, they walked, someone that walked in and just pushed us, just show it to me from the Bible. So we started walking through the scriptures where it shows that a pastor has to have a husband of one wife. That means it could not be a woman. It could not be a woman. Okay, there's no way. And you see, so I just lay the truth out. So again, understand the word. That's how you get it in 2013, verse 2. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people. Set them as a watchman. When I say to them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man off their coast and set them as their watchmen. Now, key word this morning is watchmen. That's one word once stuck in your head before you walk out. Know what the word means, the biblical watchman, and then we're going to be biblical watchmen in the days to come. Okay? Verse 3, if when he sees a sword come upon the land, if he blows the trumpet, it warns the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and he took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Okay, now watch 6. But if the watchman sees the sword come and blows not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will require at the watchman's hand. All right? Now, here's the picture. Back in the day, you didn't have CNN and Fox News and satellites and drones, okay? So you built a wall around your city is what you did, okay? And you chose a watchman to stand up on the wall, and they had a very simple job, look in the distance. That's all their job was, okay? And when they saw an army come to the rise, they'd pull the trumpet out and blow the trumpet and warn the people in the city trouble was coming, right? They see a big dust cloud, so it'd be horses or chariots, so they'd pull the trumpet out and blow the trumpet and warn the people in the city trouble was coming. Now, was it the watchman's job to go down the ladder, go in the city, put everyone's armor, Uzis, knives, and staves on? Was that their job? No, simple job. See the trouble coming, pull the trumpet out, blow the trumpet, warn the people trouble's coming, all right? Let's say we did the same thing. Let's say we built a wall around Cedar Rapids. Okay, you and I both know we can't trust those people from Cedar Falls, correct? You can't trust that. I've been there before. Trust me, you can't trust him. And so he built a wall around our city, all right? And you chose a watchman to stand up on the wall. Now, is this an important job, yes or no? Very important job. Done incorrectly will cost the entire city its life, okay? So raise some hands up. I used to be a school teacher. Just raise some hands up. What are certain qualities you would want in any watchman you would ever choose to stand up on that wall to protect your city? So raise some hands. What are qualities you would want to do that? Andy? Courageous. Yeah, you want someone that's courageous, someone that's bold. What does Joshua say? Strong and courageous. Exactly. Strong and courageous. That's what we're looking for. But wait, I need to make sure you're strong and courageous before you ever get up on that wall, right? Yeah, that's something you need to have before you get up there. Okay, hands up. What's something you want? A clear vision. Yeah, because if that's a friendly flag, could you ever study military history? This thing called false flag operations. And what the Spaniards would do, Spain would invade England but put up a French flag. The English go, oh, those French, okay? And they go invade France, but it was Spain the whole time, you see? So you have to be able to have clear vision, no enemy. Because if you blow the trumpet three or four times and it's friendly, when you blow it when it's the real enemy, the people in the city won't what? They won't get ready, okay? Yeah, so a good vision. Okay, hands up. What's another quality you'd want in any watchman to protect your city, sir? Yeah, you want someone that's alert, paying attention. Now, this isn't lazy folk job, is it? Because if the enemy typically will come at night, 3 a.m., and if he's zoned out, that's when they come get the city. That's a very good one. Okay, what's another quality we would look for? Is that what you were going to say? You were going to say the same one? Okay, yeah. Anyone else? Another quality you'd look for? Anything else? Yes, ma'am? Ooh, trustworthy. This is huge. This is huge. In China, when we were in China doing some kind of underground work, one thing they did in China, they would take the police. We called them greenies. They always wore green long coats in the winter. They're called the PSB. I think it's Police State Bureau or something. And they would take one of those men and they'd infiltrate the house church. They'd come into your church, sit in your Sunday school classes, eat your donuts, okay? Put their hands up, mighty to save, hang out for 8 or 9 months, get everybody's name and address, disappear. And later that week, all the police come in and arrest the entire house church. They were completely not what? Trustworthy. Okay, what's the Bible say? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay, our word matters, right? Don't we, as with working with young people, don't we give them little things to see if we can trust them? If I can't trust you with the little things, I can't what? Trust you with the big things. Real simple, okay? Last year, I'm in a maximum security prison in Rhode Island. You ever seen Alcatraz? This place looked just like Alcatraz, spitting image of Alcatraz. Found out that when they quarried Alcatraz, they took the rocks and brought them over and built this prison in Rhode Island. Okay, so I'm in a maximum security prison. I'm giving this talk to all these prisoners, all these hardened criminals. They're just sitting on tables. Guy over there. I said, sir? He said, love. I said, excuse me? He said, love. I was like, what do you mean? He said, I want to make sure the guy on top of the wall loves the people enough in the city that he wouldn't care if it was 2 a.m. He wouldn't care if he was waking them up, that he loved them so much that he would blow the trumpet to make sure they were ready for battle and didn't get killed. He said, love. Let me tell you something. I have never, ever once had that answer in a church before. I had it in a maximum security prison from a hardened criminal. Is that a good answer? Great answer. We're loving people as Christians, right? We're caring people as Christians. Now, all those qualities, shouldn't we have those as believers in Jesus Christ? Yeah, we shouldn't be lazy. We should be trustworthy. We should be loving. When we have those qualities, that's when we set the standards in our schools. That's when we set the standards in our workplace and stuff. That's how we set the standard in a restaurant today that we're going into, okay? Now, go to verse 7. Watch where the whole thing changes in verse 7. They say, complete turn on us. So thou, son of man, I have set thee as a watchman of the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine your hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from, if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus she speaks, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away, we rot away in them, how should we then live? Now watch 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. to the wicked, turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Beginning of 11, say unto those that live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's not a good day for God when Adolf Hitler takes his last breath and dies and goes to hell. It was not what God created him for. Not a good day for God, for Idi Amin and Pol Pot and Joseph Stalin and Lenin and Osama bin Laden, when they take a last breath and die and go to hell, was not what God created them for. Okay. Anyone remember George Carlin, the famous comedian? Remember George Carlin? Yeah, when George Carlin, when he died a few years ago, I got on YouTube to watch some clips of George Carlin. I could not get through one 10-minute clip on George Carlin without having to hit the pause button. I had completely forgotten how much he blasphemed the name of God and Jesus Christ. Because I listened to him as a lost guy back in the day. It was disgusting. Okay, if George Carlin could go back for 5 simple seconds to planet Earth, wouldn't we go get a good meal this afternoon? He wouldn't come back for 5 seconds to turn on ESPN and see how his college team did yesterday. He wouldn't come back to do Jay Leno or a David Letterman show. He'd come back for 5 simple seconds, repent of his sins, get born again and saved, take his last breath and get out of this crazy place. But it's too late for George Carlin. The question is, who blew the trumpet? Who warned him trouble was coming? Who handed him a gospel tract on the streets of L.A.? Said, Mr. Carlin, the God you mock in your routines is the God you're going to stand in front of one day. You sure you want to mock him like this? Okay, who had enough guts to say that to him and do that? Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs sold one of his companies for $400 million. Steve Jobs sold one of his companies for $8 billion. Okay, I haven't mentioned Apple yet. My Bible's as clear as a bell. What does it profit a man if he gains what? The whole world, yet what? Loses his soul. Terrible, terrible trade-off. Okay, Steve Jobs, when he died, there were 16 billion songs had been downloaded off of iTunes. How many of those songs do you think glorified the God that he stood in front of the day he died? I was walking up. We'll teach you tonight and some in the encore session. We'll teach you different ways to witness to people. And I'm in Detroit Airport last year, and a guy's walking on the same train I'm on. He has a book in his hand. It's got Steve Jobs' picture. It's the autobiography of Steve Jobs that's out there right now. So I just reached out. I just tapped the book, and he looked at me. I said, what do you think? Man looks at me and says, absolutely one of the meanest men I have ever read about in my life. Well known for firing people on the spot. Well known for it. Well known for making people work Christmas. I wasn't a Christian, but that's still family time anyways. Okay, Christmas time. Well known for it. Well known for stealing other people's ideas and putting them into his products. Well known for it. Thou shalt not steal. Okay. What's the symbol for apple? Apple with? Bite out of it. Where's the only place in all of recorded history where you see a piece of fruit with a bite out of it? That's the book of Genesis. That's been a symbol of rebellion against God for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years. And yet that's the symbol you choose for your company? Interesting. Make you think a little bit. Okay. My question is, who blew the trumpet? Who witnessed to Steve Jobs? Guess what? I know of a man that worked for Apple. He walked into his office one day, sat across the table, and shared Jesus Christ with Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs wanted nothing to do with it. Nothing. Did that man do his job, yes or no? Did he do his job, yes or no? Yes, he was the biblical watchman. He blew the trumpet. He didn't want to get ready for the eternal battle when he died. That was his choice. He did what he was called to do. When Mr. Jobs died, 1 week later, his sister spoke publicly. 1 week later, it came out in a magazine. And she said, when he died, he said goodbye to everybody in his family. Matter of fact, the last few months, he spent his entire time with his wife and kids. Because he made a fatal error during his business career. He did not spend time with who? His wife and kids. Men, you don't get a do-over. Men, you don't get a do-over on being a dad. You don't get a do-over on being a husband. If you haven't been spending the correct time with those people in your family, that's okay. Today's a new day. Back on track. Okay, Mr. Jobs regretted it big time at the end of his life, okay? He said goodbye to each person in his family. He looked over their heads. He started looking in the distance. He said, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. Flatlined and died. He saw something before he died, okay? I don't think it was something good, okay? But at least someone cared enough to blow the trumpet and warn him trouble was coming. That's all our job is, okay? I don't have to convince everybody of Jesus Christ. I need to plant seeds and water seeds, and then who gives the increase? God gives the increase. I have to do my job, though, and my job is to care about people, blow the trumpet, warn them trouble's coming, okay? A couple of years ago, I'm on a flight going to Newark, New Jersey, and there's a man sitting next to me who worked for the CIA. So I kept asking him all these questions he couldn't answer. It was a lot of fun. I kept trying to pick his brain on like big conspiracy theories and stuff. And I guess I didn't have a high enough security clearance or something. And so we're talking back and forth. And then he looks at me and he tells me during the conversation, he told me he was an agnostic. Okay. Now, two things when it comes to sharing your faith. Okay. If you're taking notes, I'd write these down. Okay. Two very simple things when it comes to witnessing. Okay. One, first of all, witnessing, sharing your faith isn't a presentation. Sharing your faith is a conversation. Very easy, simple thing to remember. Sharing your faith isn't a presentation. Sharing your faith is a conversation. Okay? Jesus had a conversation with the woman at the well. He had a conversation with the rich young ruler. Paul had a conversation with Felix. He had a conversation with Agrippa. Okay? Now, can all of us have conversations? Yeah, we do it all the time. The only question, are we going to leave them at temporary conversations or are we going to make them eternal conversations? We're going to teach you how to do that. It's real simple. Okay. Second thing to remember, if anyone ever says anything that you don't know what it means, just ask them, hey, what do you mean by agnostic? Okay. What do you mean by atheist? What do you mean by Muslim? Well, what do you mean by evolution? There's two branches to evolution. We're okay with one. We're biblically not okay with another one. Okay. Well, I'm a Christian. What's a good question to ask? What do you mean by Christian, okay? We'll get answers like, well, I'm a good person, okay? Is that the right answer? No. I go to church. You'll get this one a lot, okay? Does going to church make you a Christian? No. Does going in the garage make you a car? No. Does going to McDonald's make you a hamburger? No. Yes. And, Zach, easy. And does going into the barn make you a cow? No, it doesn't make you something. I'm glad you go to church. Hope it's a good one, but you never know. It doesn't make you something. So you just ask the question, okay? Now, agnostic, all that means they're kind of in the mushy middle. They're not enough evidence to believe in God, not evidence not to believe in God. They're just kind of the mushy middle. They're actually fun people to chat with because usually they're searching, okay? And they're usually open for a very good conversation, and usually they love to read too, okay? So we start talking. Then he tells me, he said, oh, by the way, I was on flight 93, September 11th, 2001. I'm like, wait a minute, my Rolodex went off in my head, went back to that day. That's the flight that went down where? Pennsylvania, where everybody what? Died, but they're all still. They're all still alive. That's exactly right. Remember, that's one of the lies of the world. The world's trying to teach you death means over with. Michael Jackson's dead, Elizabeth Taylor's dead, Frank Sinatra's dead, gone, over with, done. That's not what death means in the Bible. All death in the Bible means opening up the door to the other side. Okay, that's all death means. Okay, matter of fact, in the King James Bible, it uses the word asleep many times for death. I think it's a great word for death. Because if you're asleep, eventually what? You wake up. You just wake up on the other side. I think it's a great word for death, actually. Okay, I always tell people when someone dies, they're either alive in heaven or they're alive in hell. Or I say you're alive and well or you're alive in hell, one of the two, when you die. So every funeral, the ones you speak at, I speak at, the ones you go to, that person's still alive. They're just alive on the other side. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. And now, but it's obvious he wasn't physically on the plane because he's sitting next to me. Okay. And that was a Tuesday morning. I said, what do you mean? He said, the Friday before, my boss called me up and said, hey, Darren, I need you to get to California day earlier. I need you to switch your flight to Monday, September 10th. Okay, to get to California. He looks at me and says, I switched my flight to Monday, September 10th, flight 93. He said, Mark, on my wall is a picture frame with a ticket in there, flight 93, September 11th, 2001. He was that close to get on that plane flight. Remember, he's an agnostic. So I said, Darren, was that luck? Was that chance? Or was that God that kept you off the plane flight? He looked at me and said, yes, yes, yes. Okay, he knew something kept him off that plane flight. Okay, I've met more people from New York that something happened that day but they couldn't get to the World Trade Centers that day. And they weren't in there when they came down. I've heard more crazy stories from New Yorkers and stuff, okay? And so we start talking back and forth, okay? I begin to wisdom explain how there's a God. He's a real good question, good thinker and stuff. I finally said, do you like to read? Oh, love to read. So gave him this book I wrote and stuff. And bingo, I said, Darren, the reason God kept you off that plane flight was here's the rest of the story. Here's the rest of the stories. So we just talked about sin, salvation, repentance, judgment to come. Gave him the book. So my job is just to pull out the trumpet and what? Blow the trumpet and warn him, Darren. You're still alive to say yes to Jesus Christ. It's your choice now what you do with that. Okay? I was on a plane flight to Wichita, Kansas. I have a guy next to me that I'm just chatting with, and I don't have an in yet. Okay, so if you don't have an in, you just create an in. We'll show you how to do that. So I just use this all the time. I just look at somebody and say, hey, can I ask you an interesting question? I use that all the time. What's everybody say? Sure, what do you got? People love an interesting question. I love interesting questions, okay? So can I ask you an interesting question? People always say, sure. And then I just, I asked Joe sitting next to me, I said, when you were younger as a kid, did you grow up in any religious faith or belief or tradition as a child? I used that with Casey, my waiter, last night, okay? It's a great question, okay? Use it on any age group. Because 90, 95% of people are going to say what? Yeah, what are they going to say? Yes, people grow up in something, okay? I met a kid the other day who grew up in Satanism. He studied the Satanic Bible as a kid with his parents. Now just think about that for a second. That's crazy stuff. Okay. Now that you're older, works on any age group, is it more important to you or less important you got older? Now, most people at this point say what? Say it? Yeah, they say less important. Okay. Well, wait a minute. We're getting older. We're getting closer to dying. So shouldn't it become... I want to say how it's an easy walk with people, and I love that question. Watch what happened. I said, Joe, did you grow up in religious faith or belief or tradition as a child? He said, yeah. I said, Methodist. A little edginess to his voice. I said, now that you're older, it's probably mid-50s. I said, now that you're older, is it more important to you or less important you got older? He said, less important, with a definite edge to his voice. So I said, Joe, did anything happen along the way to kind of push you away from God? He said, yes, it did. Okay, with a most definite edge to his voice. Okay, now if you ever get that, this is all I do, okay, and when that comes up. I said, Joe, if you feel comfortable, can you tell me what happened? Now, the reason I say it that way, okay, is remember for many people, you're their out. They want to get something off their chest, and they can tell you. They're trying to test if I can trust this man and tell him. This is what he's trying to figure out, okay? Now, even if he doesn't tell me, can I still blow the trumpet? Sure, yeah, I can still have the conversation, but I know I've done this enough now. I realize we're the out for people sometimes. I met a man in the Atlanta airport one time, three-piece suit, going through a divorce, and he starts crying in front of me when he tells me this story about him and his wife splitting up. There ain't a single person on planet Earth that ever gets married and says, these are going to be the best 7 years of my life. Who says that? Nobody says that. Okay. And so when his marriage is breaking, it was hurting this man. But I was his out to share it in the middle of the Atlanta airport. And you could just tell how emotional it was for this man and do that. Okay. Joe, if you feel comfortable, can you tell me what happened? All of a sudden, he put his head down. He's bobbing his head up and down. Complete, total silence. You ever had that awkward silence in a conversation before? Okay. Now, remember something. Whenever that happens, two things. One, don't say anything. Okay. Just be quiet at this moment because something's going on in this seat that I don't understand. The Spirit's working on him. Just let it go. Okay. Second thing to remember is if you had a videotape of it, it's never as long as you think it is. Okay. Because you're sitting here and it's seeming like it's 3 weeks. Okay. And it's only a 2-hour flight. Okay. And it's never as long as you think it is. Okay. So but I do this for a living. This was a long one though. He's got his head down. All of a sudden, he pulls his head up. He said, okay. He said, a stalker came after my daughter. We had to get the police involved. He said, the stalker came after my wife. We had to get the police involved. He said, the stalker broke the restraining order. He was arrested and thrown into juvenile detention center. He was a 17-year-old young man. Okay. Can 17-year-olds do wicked things? Yes or no? Wicked, evil things. Evil things. Are you reaching them? Because we'll also, Troy and I can also show you a lot of 17-year-olds, Nate can as well, a lot of 17-year-olds turning their high schools upside down for Jesus Christ just as well. Okay, you reaching them? We're meeting some bold soldiers in 2013. They're fun to watch as they serve God. Okay, you reaching them? If not, Satan is. Okay, he looked at me and said, one morning at 5 a.m., my daughter let out a blood-curdling scream at 5 a.m. He said, I came running out of the bedroom The stalker is standing in the middle of his house with a rifle in the middle of his house. Okay? He shot through the sliding glass doors, and he's standing in the middle of the house with a rifle in the middle of his house. Okay? So think about it. 5 a.m., your daughter's screaming. You got to be fuzzy-headed at this moment, okay? I'm sure you probably wake up pretty quick, though. And there's a gunman 10 to 12 feet away from you. What would you do? 5 a.m., gunman in your house, daughter's screaming. What would you do? Okay, young men and men only. No ladies, please. Young men or men, raise a hand up. Gunman in your house, what would you do? You tackle him, okay? So you're going to go forward. You're not going backwards. Something's going to happen here. You're just going to go tackle him, and whatever happens, happens. Okay? What else, men? Nope. Men? Okay, so do you think we can reason with people? You may or may not. Don't know the kid's state of mind, okay? Does witnessing work? Does prayer work? We had a situation in Atlanta, a couple in their hotel room. Gunmen broke in. They dropped immediate release, began to pray, "Father, do not let this man die." Excuse me, he's got the gun. You're on your knees. Do not let this man die? What are you talking about, okay? "Father, he's not ready to meet you. Do not let this man die." He said, "Oh, these are those crazy Christians." Out the door and gone. Whole thing ended. It's a true story in Atlanta, okay? All right, men, what would you do? Men? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Look at you, man. Yeah, I know what you would do. Then you try to slice his throat with a gospel track. I know who you are. Don't play with me. Don't play with me, man. Men, is it our job to protect our wives and daughters, our kids? Yes? Listen to me. Men, we do something, don't we? We do something. I see this as I travel. I do some work for the military. I can't tell you how many ladies I see migrate towards a military base, go out with the biggest pagan on planet Earth, as long as they know one thing. Will that man protect me? Yeah. It's one of our jobs as men to protect them. Okay. Joe's not a believer. I said, "Joe, what'd you do?" He said, "I rushed him. He ran straight towards him. Pew, pew. Two bullets to the stomach." I said, "What'd you do, Joe?" He said, "I kept going." He said, "I tackled this man." He tackled him. They were wrestling on the floor. It was extremely bloody. He slips out of his hands. He runs out of the house. The police finally show up. They catch him at the end of the street. He's laying on the floor. He said, "Wait a minute." He said, "Where's my wife at?" Gets up, goes to the front door, opens the front door. Wife is laying face down in the snow, shot and killed. The gunman was waiting behind the bushes, shot and killed the wife, came to the back of the house, and that's how the rest of the encounter played itself out. Joe looked at me and said, "Always remember, conversations go what? Both directions." Okay, now this is an okay moment. We'll teach you this morning or tonight, what do you do if you get a question you can't answer? We'll teach you what to do. It's really simple. But even if he can't answer, if I can't answer what he's about to ask me, it's still okay. He's still trusting in the asking part. Okay. He said, "Mark, I have a question for you." I said, "Okay." He said, "How can there be a God with my wife who is dead and this man who's alive in a prison in Ohio? How can there be a God?" Legitimate question, yes or no? Legit question where I come from, okay? We began to talk. We're talking back and forth. He has all these great questions, and you and I have got all these great what? Answers. That's why I want to talk to someone today, because the biblical worldview answers all the big questions in our world today. There's no other worldview does it. Okay, we're talking back and forth. I finally said, "Do you like to read?" He said, "No, I don't." So I gave him one of my books. And I don't give up easy. And signed it for him. I gave it to him. When we landed in Wichita, Kansas, he was 55 pages into the book. Looked at me and said, "These are really helping me answer my questions." Oops, there we go again. He's got questions. You and I have what? That's why I want to talk to a waiter or waitress. I want to talk to somebody outside of a restaurant at my hotel today, because I know we have what they need to do that, okay? Shook my hand twice, thanking me for the conversation. See, we think no one wants to talk to us today. Yes, they do. They want to talk to a nice, friendly person that will give me some truth today. Most people like a good conversation and do that, okay? Then he looked at me and said, by the way, this happened 20 years ago. And I sat there, I'm like, I know my face had to say something. I'm like, what? I thought by his conversation, it happened when? Like yesterday, yeah, I just couldn't, the emotions on his face and stuff. And then I realized how emotional it is. I guess it probably never, ever, as you relive it, goes away. Then he told me, he said, my concern now is he only got a 30-year sentence. So now I'm worried in 10 years, he's going to get out and come after who? The daughter. That's exactly right, the daughter. Okay. This man had no peace, zero peace. So what did we share with him? The Prince of Peace. Remember, Joe doesn't get to heaven because his wife was shot and killed. Joe gets to heaven when he gets born again and saved. Okay. Remember when you have a trumpet? You don't always have to blow the trumpet loud, do you? I didn't need to yell at Joe. I didn't need to shout at Joe. He hurt. He was in pain. Okay. I just need to very lovingly give him truth and watch people be open to that. Okay. I wrote a book called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. What's the one thing you can't do in heaven? Can't share with a lost person because why? Not going to be there. So if we're ever going to reach them, got to reach them where? Here, when? Now, okay, that's what the book is. All the basics on sharing your faith, okay? How to break through the fear of rejection. We'll work on that this morning and then tonight. A good question to get started. Once you have some good questions to get rolling into a spiritual conversation, very simple after that, okay? All my books are full of stories. So this book, I got to share Jesus with a Satanist, an atheist. Charles Barkley's in here. Michael Jordan's in here. Why? I meet these people in my life. So I just throw questions out and get in conversations and do that, okay? I can't tell you the number of people I've met who have read this book, put it down, boldly share their faith in Jesus Christ. Very simple, okay? Have you heard of Albert Pujols, the baseball player? Have you heard of Albert Pujols? He's a very famous first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals, but now he's with the Los Angeles Angels. And we're actually friends. We became friends over this book. He read this book. His people called and said, I would like to meet you. So I'm going through St. Louis for something. So we had lunch. Just kind of hit it off, became buddies and stuff. So I was in St. Louis for a game, and he's a really strong Christian man. So watch what I did. We're at my hotel after the game. We're just sitting there on the couch just talking. And he's the first baseman, St. Louis Cardinals, and he's a very strong Christian. So watch what I did. I said, Albert, aren't you the first baseman? He said, Mark, you just watched me play. You know I'm the first baseman. I said, you ever thought about sharing your faith? People come to first base, Albert? I said, they're standing right there, Albert. I said, they can't go anywhere, Albert. I said, all they can do is steal, and you can say, thou shalt not steal, Albert. Have you thought about this? Okay. Well, the next day, he drives me to the airport, and he says, I'm going to take you up on that. I said, on what? He said, witness on first. I said, serious? He said, yeah. I said, dude, be careful. You might get in trouble or whatever. So we pull into the airport. I said, Albert, the hardest person for me to chat with today is always the same one. It's the first one. If I can get the first one, number two's easy, number three's, it just becomes easier. I just got to get started. He calls me 3 days later. He said, Mark, I did it. I said, you did what? He said, I witnessed on first. I said, seriously? He said, yeah. He said, I tell him about Jesus Christ. He said, well, then when they would get out, I look at it in the dugout. I could see him chit-chat with each other in the dugout. They'd be talking. He said, I knew they were talking about me. I knew it. Okay. So the next day, he goes into the other team's locker room because he's a very famous player. So he hands the other Christians one thing you can't do in heaven. Some of you will have waiters or waitresses today that couldn't go to church because they have to work, but they wanted to be in church today. So you can encourage them in their faith to be bold at their workplace, correct? Yeah. So you put something in their hand. He hands the lost guys one heartbeat away, and books are literally going through Major League Baseball because a man stands on first base and shares his faith in Jesus Christ. Think about that. I actually got a phone call from a Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher that Albert had witnessed to, and he came to play the Braves and wanted to have lunch one day to chat about some things. So we had lunch that day, okay? So that's what we witness in our workplaces, correct? Yeah, we always witness, and that's his workplace. We should do that, okay? Second last thing, who has lost people you're trying to reach for Jesus? Have lost people? Okay, let's try that again. Who has lost people you're trying to reach for Jesus? Okay, should be all of us, correct? How many of you have immediate family members that aren't born again and saved? Immediate family? Okay, me too. So someone asked me, would you write a book to lost people since you spend so much time with them? So this book, One Heartbeat Away, geared it for seekers and searchers. Okay, but Christians love all the apologetics. How do you prove there's a God? How do you prove the Bible true? Big stuff, okay? We walk you right to the Ten Commandments, leave you right at the cross, decide what you want to do. We've had atheists read this book, become born again. Muslims read this book, become born again. Catholic nun read the book, became born again. In this book, I got to share Jesus with Magic Johnson's in here, Tiger Woods in here. I'll tell you some of the story probably tonight. I got to witness the tiger one time, so that story's in there. So just people, it's a very easy-to-read book, but just lays truth on the table, okay, and do that. You heard of Jeff Foxworthy, the comedian? I was checking my phone messages one day. Mark Cahill, this is Jeff Foxworthy. And I thought it was my buddies playing a trick on me. You know how your friends are. But you know his voice? You can't do his voice. It's a real country voice. He said, "I just read your book, One Heartbeat Away. You have got my wheels spinning." He said, "I need 20 copies for my buddies. Here's my number. Here's my address. Please get a hold of me." But he lives in Atlanta. I got to drive over and meet him. But he's a really nice guy. Real humble. He wasn't an arrogant celebrity at all. But he'd recently become a Christian, and now he wants to reach his buddies for Jesus Christ. So he saw a book as an easy way to do that. We have employers all the time get these for their customers, their employees. I got an email the other day from a World War II vet. Okay, he made the mistake of putting his phone number on his email. So I called the dude, and he was in Cleveland or something. And I call him up, 87-year-old man. He said, "My name is so-and-so. I'm 87 years old. My mind is sharp as a tack." Okay, don't you? I love old people, man. They're just awesome. And sharp as a tack. He said, "I'm in a VA hospital, and your book, One Heartbeat Away, was sitting in the VA hospital. I saw it on a table there. I started reading it, and I said, well, they must be allowed to take it." So I took it home with me. Okay, "I'm a World War II vet." He said, "I'm a machine gunner from the Battle of the Bulge." Think about that for a second. Wow, was right when I'm chatting with this man. Okay, he said, "I read your book, One Heartbeat Away. I have now committed my life to Jesus Christ. My family goes back generations of Catholics. I used to have my life committed to the church." What church does he mean? The Roman Catholic Church. He said, "My life is now committed to Jesus Christ. Okay, how do I get your other books?" So he sent the other, he just loves to read. He just emailed me the other day, "I have now finished this book 3 times now. Okay, I'm sharing my faith." I mean, this guy has just gone off. He's 87 years old, okay, because he got truth to do that. Got a phone call to the ministry the other day. A lady, good accent. I love accents. So I called her back. I said, "Hey, how you doing? Good. Where you live?" I said, "San Diego." I said, "That's not a San Diego accent." She said, no. It's a German accent." I said, "Oh, when did you move from Germany to America?" No. I was in Argentina and then came to America. Oops. Know your history real quick. How did Germans get to Argentina? After World War II, right? They opened it up for them to come there, right? And then she tells me, she said, "My parents were Nazis. My grandparents were Nazis. My uncle wrote the book, I Paid Hitler." I Googled the book. It's a legitimate book. Her uncle was the money man for Hitler. He would go to the steel and just say, "I need 1,000,000 marks to keep the war machine going." He collected money for Hitler. It's a legit book. She said to me on the phone, she said, "When I was a kid, I learned about Hitler, but I didn't learn about God." She said, someone gave her One Heartbeat Away. She was halfway through it. She's a real thinker, loves to think, and it's got her wheels spinning in her head. Is there a God? Who's Jesus Christ? But all because someone gave him and did that. Okay, so that's what we do. We plant seeds in people's lives and do that. Okay, so as you walk out, there's a table back there with those books on it for you. The books are on audio if you like to listen. That's an MP3. If you don't know what an MP3 is, ask your grandkids. Okay, they'll tell you what that is. It's a little bit different, okay? So what you do, the table's for you back there. We're very different. We don't charge for anything. Everything's donational. You take what you want. You pay what you want, okay? So we don't let money get in the way for anything. If you're a guest here, please take something free off the table. If you're not born again and saved, please take a free copy of One Heartbeat Away off there. Just ask that you read it and then decide what you want to do with it. So you can get as much as you want for you and your families and stuff like that. So you just take what you want, pay what you want. There's a box there, and you just throw it in there. But I go one step further. If anyone in the room has a financial need, not a want, a need, you know the difference. You can reach in the box and take out of the box. Okay. We started doing this 7-8 years ago, and we've heard the coolest stories from that little box. Okay. We had a guy walk up to me one Sunday in Indianapolis. He walked and said, "Sir, can I get $20 out of the box for gas?" Now, if you have a need, just take it out of the box. Okay. And I said, "Sure." I said, "What do you need it for?" He said, "Well, I was driving past your church this morning, and my car ran out of gas, so I just coasted it into the church parking lot." Okay? And he said, "Well," he said, "I'm already here. Might as well just go to church." He didn't go to that church. Okay? So he got God and gas all in the same morning. It was like the best morning for him. Okay? Someone left me a note there. Don't leave me a note. But someone left me a note, and I was in Illinois. And got this little note. So I'm reading this note. And he said, "We're two ladies. We're missionaries from Uganda. We happen to be visiting your church this morning. Well, Monday we go back to Uganda, and we have a second bag with us. And they're charging us $200 for the second bag. That's called a ripoff, correct? That's a rip. Isn't the plane already going there? It's not like it's not going to go if you don't pay $200. I don't mind paying good money for something, but when you rip people off, that always bothers me, okay? Sir, we don't have $200 for the bag, and the bag is all full of what? Bibles and gospel tracts. Okay? Sir, we just took $200 out of this box. We will get this luggage to Uganda. We'll get this literature all across Uganda. Thank you very much. Okay? Don't we serve a great God? Remember, Jesus Christ said it's more blessed to give than receive. Listen, okay? The economy is getting tight in America. It's going to get tighter. We're Christians. Okay? We're not hoarders. We're what? Givers. We give. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Okay, now if you haven't been a giver, that's okay. Today's what? A new day. Back being a giver today. But remember something. Giving has nothing to do with money. Can't you give your time? I think that's a bigger gift than money. Can't you give your talent? High school kids. I know Christian high school kids all the time that help their atheist friends study for tests. See, they gave their time. That opens up the door for the conversation to do that, okay? So we're givers. If you have a need, give. But in the coming days, it's about to get fun down here. But we're giving. And when we give, anything's possible at that moment and do that, okay? Every second, two people die. By the time you put your head back on your pillow tonight, another 150,000 people taking their last breath, walking off eternity, heaven, hell as we speak. Simple question for you. Do you care about those two people? Much tougher question, though. Do you care enough to something about where those two people are going to spend eternity? Okay, that just died and did that. I spoke for an hour. A lot of people died in an hour. 100 years from now, your waiter or waitress is going to be dead. 100 years from now, the person getting gas next to you in the gas station will be dead. 2 Sundays ago, in Wichita Falls, Texas, I walk out of a Sunday night service. Stop the gas, my rental car up before I go to Dallas. Lady across from me is getting gas. I said, you getting gas? She said, yeah, I took my credit card out. I put it in there. She said, sir, what are you doing? I said, you get a free tank of gas tonight. She said, why? I said, Jesus Christ said it's more blessed to give than receive. And I said, I just love to bless people and do that. She said, sir. I said, what? She said, I have $4 in my pocket. I was trying to decide how much to use for gas, how much to keep for food. Think about that. I forget about people like that because I don't live that way at the current moment in my life. I used to, but I don't think that way anymore. Okay, do you like to read? Oh, I'd love to read. And we just sent her a care package of all the books. She just emailed me. She is so pumped. Oh, her name's Genesis. That's her name. Spelled different, but it's Genesis is her name. Okay. Genesis is going to be dead in 100 years. I better care about her soul, correct? Anyone glad someone cared about your soul to chat with you or give you a gospel check? Yeah, will we ever return the favor? Okay, and that's what we have to do as believers, return the favor. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your scriptures. I thank you for the truth. I thank you for Ezekiel being a watchman. I thank you for challenging me through those scriptures to be a biblical watchman. I fail miserably so much at that, Father. I thank you for your mercy and grace that gives me chances to get back on track when I fall off and not doing the watchman correctly. Father, I ask that this group here will be a bunch of biblical watchmen going forward, blowing the trumpet, warning people, trouble's coming without your Son, Jesus Christ. But also remind us, Father, one of the hard things, especially for the male species, we're about results a lot. You know, did we get the business deal? You know, did we set a personal record on lifting weights, whatever? We worry about results sometimes too much. Father, remember, you're the result guy here. We just need to be faithful. Warn the people trouble's coming. Their choice what they do with the warning. So, Father, I just ask that by your Holy Spirit that more biblical watchmen will be walking out of this church in the days to come to make a big impact for you here in Iowa. And we thank you for it. And we do. And we ask it in the great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.